Have you wondered about living elsewhere in your retirement? Well, we have, almost daily. No, it's not a simple decision, especially when two people are involved.
Hi, this is
Gil
and Jean of Retire There, a podcast about retirement destinations. We live in Brooklyn, New York. Having grown up and worked in this area of the country, we're hoping to relocate when we're both retired. For us, it's the weather, the chaos, the noise, and the yearning to be near nature and not within 3 feet of human beings.
That's right. In February 2020, we embarked on our journey to find that special place. We spent a week in Winter Park, Florida, which is beautiful, but something said it wasn't for us. As we were planning for the next trip, the pandemic arrived. Jean then gave birth.
I gave birth?
To this podcast. With so many baby boomers retiring, many must be relocating. Why not connect with and learn from them?
Here's a little background about us.
I'm Asian, born in Brazil, and grew up in Flatbush, Brooklyn. I'm an engineer turned attorney turned podcaster. I recently retired from a university career practicing higher education law. I love the academic environment, but it was time to do something else. I no longer have to set an alarm, drive in BQE traffic, or work with people who don't always share the same principles. Ooh, did I just say that? You bet I did. I traded all that in to binge crime dramas into the wee hours, just a little bit, to develop the podcast, to volunteer, practice metalsmithing, tackle our possessions. No regrets so far. Jean?
I'm not Asian, and as Gil mentioned, I'm not retired. I'm just plain tired. Born and raised in Long Island, New York, a place I always wanted to leave. I'm a law librarian working in a court who loves his job, but we're retired by the time we select our ideal location. We will be speaking to folks from across the street to across the globe who have moved to their dream venues and more. So please stay tuned and remember, if you know anyone who has moved anywhere for retirement, let us know.
Thank you.
Greetings, y'all. Yes, but it's the way I said y'all, I am a Yankee. On this episode of Retire There, we will be talking to Keith Lucas, a South Carolina real estate expert who moved from Naples, Florida to a suburb of Charleston, South Carolina. Offering a distinct southern charm and a relaxed coastal vibe, Charleston, founded in 1670, is the oldest city in all of South Carolina. The port city, with a population of about 150,000, is defined by its cobblestone streets, horse-drawn carriages, and pastel antebellum houses, particularly in the elegant French Quarter and Battery districts. From the popular farmers market held downtown in Marion Square to shopping along King Street and browsing through the city market where many locals sell their sweetgrass baskets and household decor, there is no shortage of things to do to keep you outdoors and on the move. Many artists, writers, and musicians flock to this beautiful city for its art shows, concerts, and literary events. If you're a country music fan, you might even run into Darius Rucker, well known for his original band, Hootie and the Blowfish, and a Charleston local. And now, a little about our guest, Gil.
Thanks. Originally from Connecticut, Keith has been a realtor for over 20 years. He has owned realty companies in Naples, Florida, Blue Ridge, Georgia, and Charleston, South Carolina. He closed his companies and joined LPT Realty. While Keith is rooted in Charleston, he has a team of realtors in most parts of South Carolina. He is considered a valued expert on retiring in South Carolina, and his YouTube channel on the subject contains over 200 videos. The videos range in topic from what it is like to retire in Charleston and other South Carolina locations to the true cost of retiring there, to what you expect to know about new construction. Keith is also a highly sought-after coach and keynote speaker. Between being a coach and his expert realty of knowledge of South Carolina, he thinks that he's going to talk Gil and Jean by the end of this episode into moving. And I said, let's put money on that. Keith is also a highly sought-after coach and keynote speaker. He has even written a book titled Southern Comfort, Your Ultimate Guide to Retirement in South Carolina. You can get a free copy of the book at retirementlifesc.com. Again, that's retirementlifesc.com. retirementlife.com. Lastly, he is the CEO of Retirement and Life, South Carolina, a media company whose mission is to inform, entertain, and educate retirees for a fulfilling and vibrant retirement life in South Carolina. So, Keith, welcome to Retire There. You seem to have had thriving real estate businesses in Naples, Florida, and Blue Ridge, Georgia. Why did you make the move to Charleston?
Well, Gillen and Gene, thank you so much for having me on your show with you today. I really do appreciate it. Anytime I get a chance to talk about South Carolina, I always jump at it. And yes, Gillen, you will be putty in my hand by the end of this.
Okay, you haven't seen enough of our episode.
So the question, Naples, Blue Ridge, and Charleston. You know, as I kind of transitioned through my real estate career, you know, it brought me to these places. One of those things that kind of drew me to those places were that they were all destinations. Unlike working in a suburb of a big city where people maybe are moving there because they have a job opportunity there, these are typically places that people are going to buy vacation homes, second homes, and things like that. So that's what kind of drew me to these markets. And also, they're some of the most beautiful places in this country. I figured, well, if I'm going to sell real estate, I might as well do it in some of the most beautiful places.
Smart move. Okay. So then sell us South Carolina.
Yeah. Why is
it Charleston?
Why is it such a big retirement destination? And how popular is it?
Well, how much time do you have?
All right.
Okay. Well, let me start out here. Last year in 2023, South Carolina was the most moved to state in the entire country by percentage wise. Okay. Now, Florida and Texas both had more people move there, but it didn't move their percentage needle as much as it did South Carolina. So South Carolina had a total growth of 1.7%, and that takes into account people leaving and coming in. So,
okay.
You know, we really did grow. Thing about South Carolina is that it's got just about everything that you could want. You know, back in the day when our parents were retiring, or maybe their parents retiring, people would like to go, especially to Florida, and sit on Miami Beach or one of those other nice beaches and watch the world go by. But things have changed. Things now are retirees want to become, they want to stay engaged or become re-engaged after they've spent their careers 20, 30, 40 years at their jobs. Their kids are now grown and out of the house, and now they have an opportunity to do what they would like to do. And South Carolina offers a lot of those options for them. It's just not sandy beaches. So we've got the sandy beaches. We have the Midlands. We have the upstate where you'll find the Blue Ridge Mountains up there. In the mid-state, we have Columbia with a bunch of different rivers running through it and big lakes and fantastic opportunities and a fabulous art scene. And of course, here in the low country where I am in the Charleston area, well, you've got the Atlantic Ocean, all the marsh, you have fantastic food, you have history, you have culture. And for retirees, the important thing is that there's so many different activities to get involved in, everything from volunteering to starting a second career, to enjoying whatever hobbies they maybe didn't have enough time to do before retirement. You know, that people like to fish, they like to boat, they like to kayak, they like to join all kinds of different clubs that go anything they run the gamut of knitting clubs all the way through golf clubs. Mm-hmm. So the amount of activity, the ability to be outdoors the majority of the year and enjoy all that the state has to offer is one of the major attractions to South Carolina for retirees. On top of that, when we add on a few different layers, and one of those first layers is the financial aspect of it, we have a cost of living here in South Carolina that is below the national average. Right now, it's about 6% below the national average. On top of that, the cost of housing here also is lower than the national median. Okay. Now, different pockets obviously are more expensive than others, but overall, we are some of the least expensive real estate still in the country, As a matter of fact, the median sale price here in South Carolina right now stands at $359,000. That's very affordable for a lot of people, especially if they're coming from the Northeast, the Midwest, out West, the Southwest, wherever they happen to be coming from. That's pretty cheap. Then the taxes. On the taxes, well, we don't tax Social Security. We don't tax pensions. The military here do not get taxed on their income. And right now there's a bill in front of the Senate that is asking for tax relief, no income tax on your retirement income if you're a first responder or a teacher. And that includes firemen, policemen, ambulance folks, the paramedics, and the teachers. So
that's great.
It makes it very attractive when you've saved for your entire life to retire, not to have that income taxed.
Yeah.
So like I said, there's multiple layers of what makes South Carolina so desirable to retire in.
Okay. So you haven't quite gotten me there yet, but that does sound quite enthusiastic. Give us some examples. I would like a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, no basement ranch in your area. What might that go for? And is that a possibility?
Okay. Well, my area is just outside of Charleston. I'm in a suburb of Charleston. I'm not in downtown Charleston or Charleston proper. Uh-huh. One thing that people don't understand is that the way that our system here is set up, our real estate system, you do have downtown Charleston. But when you say Charleston, the city of Charleston, that actually extends over past one of the rivers and into areas like Johns Island and West Ashley. So when you look at the price differentials from downtown Charleston compared to those suburbs that are still considered the city, then you get different price levels. So if you were to look at something, say, in West Ashley, you're talking about a ranch, 3-2. And by the way, we really don't have basements here. Our our geography or topography really doesn't offer those.
Right.
And that's something that you need to be aware of when you're retiring down here, is to kind of declutter and downsize a bit. Mm-hmm. But if you're over there looking, you can probably, you're right around 450 to 575, somewhere right in there.
Okay, that makes sense.
So that's really close to Charleston. You're maybe 10, 15 minutes away. You have access to the beaches as well, because there's three different beaches within, you know, driving distance from that area. And I mean, driving distance, that's about 20 to 30 minutes. That's basically what you're looking at.
And is it a walk? Would it be walkable? Even though it's only 15 minutes, you'd need to drive, right?
Yeah, for the most part, if you're going downtown, definitely have to drive. You know, Charleston is surrounded by waters. It's a peninsula, and there are bridges all over the place. So you can walk on some of the bridges. You can bike on some of the bridges. One of the most famous bridges here is called the Ravenel Bridge, the Arthur Ravenel Bridge. It spans, I think it's 2 miles wide, and they put in this beautiful walkway there, which you can bike on, you could walk on. People are there every single day walking across it to get their exercise, and you're walking, and it spans the harbor or part of the harbor. So you get beautiful views of the city, of the ships going by, of all the boats and all that kind of good stuff.
These suburban areas right outside the city, do they have little downtowns as well?
Yeah, they all do. And that's what's kind of really cool about it, is that they're all a little bit different, but they're all steeped in culture and history because something happened there that spurred the growth of that little town. And, you know, it might be things like Somerville, which is, quote unquote, the home of iced tea. Okay. That's their claim to fame. That's where iced tea was. Somebody decided to put some tea inside some water and brew it, and there you go.
But
it's the home of sweet tea. And, you know, it's historic. You have the older buildings that are going back, some of them back to, you know, the 1700s, 1800s. One of the things that they've done here, and it's not just in downtown Charleston, but throughout the entire area, is that they really preserved the heritage and the architecture. There are many buildings that have been standing for a couple of centuries that are just as they were back then. Now, of course, they have modern upgrades to them. They have electricity and plumbing and things like that. But that's what makes it so interesting. And each little town has a story. And all you have to do is ask a local what that story is, and you'll be prepared to have a conversation. Mm-hmm. And that is one thing that I found here in South Carolina. Now, I originally am from your neck of the woods. So I was brought up in a fast-paced kind of environment. Well, coming here, I had to really put the brakes on. And still, I sit there and sometimes tap my foot when I'm standing in line waiting for the folks to move ahead of me.
Yeah.
Because when someone asks you here how you're doing, it's not just okay or great. They're asking you because they want to know, and you're going to have a conversation with them. And that's something you need to get used to. Mm-hmm. People here are super friendly. You're walking down the street, it's hello. It's not look away, gaze away like you would in some other big cities around the country, right? And when you're in a line at a grocery store, take for instance, you could be there for a while if they spark up a conversation. And it would be totally rude to try to interrupt them to say, hey, let's,
oh my
let's,
Lord.
Let's move on.
I'm going to have to do now, all my shopping online.
I do a lot of that too. But, you know, it's also nice to be recognized and to be known when you're going into a store and the owner or the clerk
like a
knows
regular,
who you are. Mm-hmm. And they had, you know, a genuine interest in who you are. And one of the things that I've learned here that goes hand in hand with this, and you might be familiar with Kevin Bacon's 6 degrees of separation.
Sure, sure.
Yeah.
Okay. South Carolina, it's 2 degrees.
Oh,
okay.
My God.
I have literally been in the middle of nowhere, 30 miles from pavement. And I've had people that I've introduced, a buyer and a seller for a piece of property, and they knew each other. I mean, they were miles away from any pavement. The nearest city is even further away, and there we were. So people get to know their neighbors here. They get to know the entire neighborhood, the community, and they totally engage in it. They don't shy away from it.
Okay. How do these communities feel about the influx of all these, I would say, expats, but...
And Yankees.
You know, Yankees, outsiders, what have you. I mean, you know, we're quite different. Gene and I, for example, we're a biracial couple. So, you know, moving somewhere will take a little visit. And, you know, we plan to live somewhere for a while, maybe 6 months or so before we decide on buying something, because we want to make sure that, not that we fit in, but rather we feel accepted.
Well, I get blamed a lot for the amount of people moving here to South Carolina.
Yeah, we're going to come after you.
Yeah, I mean, I get people all the time, you know, making comments on my videos and different social platforms saying, stop, we're full, don't come, we like it here.
Right, we've heard that, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, that does happen. But when we look at some of what actually takes place, in regard to how the community feels about people coming in, I'll just put it to you this way. Charleston, you may know this, is known as the Holy City. And there's a reason for that, because there's over 400 churches just in the Charleston area. That's a lot of churches. Why? Because it's a very accepting place. Back when it was being established, people from all over the world came with their different religions, and they were allowed to build their houses of worship here, and they were accepted by the community. So it doesn't make a difference of your natural origin, where you may have come from or be a descendant of. It is, you're here, you like it. If you respect it, we're going to love you and welcome to the community. It's a big melting pot here. There's all kinds of different cultures. There's all kinds of different lifestyles. Some people like it, you know, on the quiet side. Some like more of the hustle and bustle.
So Charleston, the city itself, is a place with hustle and bustle. So obviously the prices are hefty there. I'm just curious, what are the prices of real estate in the nice parts of Charleston?
In the nice parts of Charleston? Well, yeah. I would say all of Charleston is pretty nice. But in reality, I'll just go back to last month. So last month was about $540,000. Okay. Now that's up 8% year over year. Okay. And if you really want to break it down, and people can do this very easily, the cost per square foot was about $317 per square foot. Okay. So if you figure you want to buy a 2,000 square foot house, you can do the math and see it'll be just over $600,000. Now, that's what happened, and that's history. What's going to happen going forward? Things are always negotiated back and forth, and you really don't know. But that price is about seven, that price per square foot's up about 7.6% year over year.
Okay.
And can you go back and repeat the property tax again for us? Yeah, that you mentioned earlier that might go for like $400 or $500.
Yeah. So the property tax here in the county of Charleston, and they vary by county. They all have different millage rates. They all have different ways of trying to figure it out. And frankly, you need a PhD from MIT to figure out how they actually calculate this stuff. But there is a calculator out there online that you can use. And I'll send you guys a link for it. You can put it up there and people can check it out if they'd like to. Rule of thumb here is for every $500,000 worth of value, the tax is about $2,500.
Wow. That's low, yeah. Well, mm-hmm. Compared to us, yes.
Yeah.
So that's relatively inexpensive, especially to the Northeast. You're right, Gene. It totally is. Now, some people, when they come here, they don't understand this. And I didn't understand this in the beginning when I came here, but that is for your primary residence. If you're going to invest here, say you're going to buy a second home, vacation home, whatever, or just a piece of land, you actually are taxed at 6%. The rate that I gave you was based on 4%.
Okay.
So you just need to be able to, if it's going to be your primary home, you need to go in, register with the county to make sure that you're taxed at that 4%.
Okay. Yeah. And I guess for our audience, most are looking for that retirement, you know, or that primary home, so to speak. Okay. Good to know.
You'd mentioned that a lot of people are moving who retired in Florida are now moving to South Carolina. Can you elaborate a little about that?
Sure. I could sum it up really in one word, and that's called a halfbacker. And actually, I've got halfbacker.com. But so I'll give you an example, an illustration. When I was in Naples, Florida, I would work with a retired couple, and they want to have a 6,000 square foot house with 5 bedrooms, 4.5 baths, a pool on the golf course, gourmet kitchen. And I would have to ask them, I'm like, why, for the two of you, do you need all of this?
Yeah.
And the answer was always the same. Well, our son Bobby has a couple of kids, so he's going to be coming down to visit and we need space for them. And Sally, our daughter, she's also coming down and she's pregnant again. So we need space for them when they come down. So I'm like, well, far be it for me to tell you how to spend your money. If this is what you would like, you've earned it. Okay, we'll find what, you know, suit your needs. And sure as it rains out, we get a phone call about 3 to 5 years later saying, Keith, can you sell this sucker? I'll say, why? You know, you had this whole plan. Well, yes, but Bobby, he got transferred out to the West Coast, so he doesn't come here very often. And Sally, with her kids, they don't want to come see grandma and grandpa all the time. Mm-hmm. They want to go somewhere else for vacation.
Right.
So we're going to not move back to where we came from, but we like to go maybe halfway back to a place that's not as hot, not as expensive, has some more diversity. You know, we thought we'd love it here in Florida, but the reality is, you know, we could take it or leave it. And that's why I had another brokerage up in Blue Ridge, because a lot of these people would move from Florida to Blue Ridge. Oh. So we would sell them another house in Blue Ridge.
Wow. So this was quite common.
Well, it was. It was very common. It's a thing. It truly is.
Wow.
And this is Florida. What's happened now in Florida is that it's been exacerbated. And I was just on another show yesterday talking about this, where the cost of homeowner insurance in Florida has gone up by 100% in a 2-year period.
Insane. Yeah.
It's nuts. The cost of transportation, the cost of food, the cost of living in general has all gone up. Taxes there have gone up. Couple that with a couple of bad hurricanes the last couple of years, and people are like, you know, Florida's getting a little expensive. It's getting crowded. There's less land. There's less activities for us to do that aren't all just compressed together. We think we might want to go someplace where there's actually a change of seasons, which, you know, South Carolina does have. Depending on where you are, you may not see any snow at all. Here in the low country, we haven't seen snow in about 5 years.
Wow.
So people are leaving Florida to come here. South Carolina is the number one destination for retirees leaving Florida. they come to South Carolina.
Yeah.
Wow, that's really interesting. I mean, growing up, we've all, you know, it's always been a joke. Oh, seniors live in Florida. How many seniors can one take, especially people are living longer? And the place must be booming. So can you tell us about the weather since you touched upon that?
Absolutely. So today is a Chamber of Commerce day here in the Lowcountry. It is now 75 degrees, sunny, light breeze, puffy clouds. The grass has popped green already. The flowers are coming out. The leaves are coming out. I'm getting my pool ready right now. I'm talking with the pool company to get them out here to get going because we'll be in the pool probably in the next 2 weeks, if not
so. Wow, that is so nice.
You have that here.
Mm-hmm.
And then as you move more westerly, I should say, in the state, you hit the Midlands. And the Midlands could be a little bit hot there. You don't have that cool breeze coming off the ocean like you do here. So it could get a little bit warmer there. And then you have the upstate. And that's where like Clemson and Greenville and those places, Travelers Rest are. And those are more, not quite mountainous until you get to the Blue Ridge Mountains, but it tends to be cooler up there. There's a lot more foliage. There's a lot more forests and green spaces. So it tends to be a little bit cooler, not a lot of concrete and glass and steel and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So the weather here, we do have all four seasons.
Oh.
Luckily, the winter is a very short one. You know, you go from December to really the end of February, and it's fantastic. And even some of those days in February are in the 70s, mid-60s, and things like that. Sometimes we do get down overnight into the 20s. It does happen. And when that happens, people here freak. Number one, in the whole city of Charleston, there's not one snowplow. Okay, we don't have a snowplow. But you'll see people, they're out there with blankets and towels and wraps and putting them over their flowers. Everyone starts dripping their faucets in their house. They open up the cabinet doors. They turn on their hose bibs, you know, let that drip as well, because we're not built for the cold.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that simple. Yes, the homes are very well insulated, but they're not very well heated, okay? Because we use our air conditioning the majority of the year.
Right, right. Okay, so electricity costs would probably obviously differ from where we are. Can you give us a range of what that looks like?
Sure. Again, it kind of depends on where you are and what the kilowatt per hour is and things like that. I've done some videos on them and, you know, it could be down as low as like 1.4 cents a kilowatt hour or something like that. It's pretty inexpensive. It's a co-op here. There's a couple of different companies and the one that I happen to be with is a co-op. So we get even a bigger discount from it. But the reality is you're looking somewhere around, depending on the size of your house, $50 to $75 as your electric bill for, say, on average.
Yeah.
Of course, during the summer, it'll be a little bit higher because you're using more air conditioning. During the winter, not so much.
Right, right.
It's
amazing to me. We pay so much more for everything.
Yeah.
But then, you know, again, this is New York. And I mean, we don't have the AC on nearly as much as you. But yet our electricity bill, even though we average the payments over the year, it's still a lot compared to you know, anywhere else. Yeah.
And talking about the weather, how hot and humid does it get in the summer?
Well, it does get warm. There's no getting around it. Depending on where you are, it does get warm. The Lowcountry definitely heats up. You know, the average temperature, when you look at it throughout the entire year, it's not horrible. It's, you know, just under 90 degrees. If you go to one of the barrier islands, it drops by about 10 degrees. You go more inland, go west, and it starts warming up a little bit as you go through the Midlands. And then on the other side of the Midlands, when you get up to that area there, the upstate, where you have more, like I said, the greenery, the forests, the mountains, and things like that, it cools down again. Mm-hmm. So you kind of, you know, have your pick of what do you like. I can tell you this, that a lot of the folks that I've helped relocate here or retire here will send me a message or they'll put something on a social platform that says, I can't believe it's 55 degrees today. And I just put on a sweater.
You know? Yeah.
Because you get your body acclimates to the, to the weather. And
that's true.
You start getting that thin blood and it's like, wait a minute, it's 60 degrees. It's getting chilly out there.
Right, right. You know, it's interesting. People say that our colleagues here in New York, that they can't wait to get out of the cold. and they're always wearing down jackets or they carry it with them just in case. But then we also hear the opposite. We've interviewed a bunch of, you know, people moved to Florida and they say, well, we don't know what it's like outside because it's so hot out that we're inside with the AC all the time. So I guess South Carolina may be the midpoint, right? Although 70 every day, to me, that's a little warm. But if it goes up to like 90 or so, I'd be 70's indoors.
Too warm?
I didn't say it was too warm. I think it's warm. I mean, 60 is super comfortable, right? But all I guess the Blue Ridge would provide that.
Yeah, you get more cooler days up there for sure.
Mm-hmm.
But some days you walk outside in July and it's like you walked into a wall of water. I mean, it's humid,
yeah.
It's hot. One of the big things that is a big misnomer about South Carolina are the bugs.
Oh, you know, yeah.
People always say, isn't it terrible with the bugs? We tell, yeah, they're terrible. Don't come here. No. we don't say that. The reality is that they're really not bad. We have a thing called a palmetto bug, and that's a very nice word for cockroach. Some of them you could put a saddle on, but regardless of how clean your house is, you will have them. Okay. You'll have them in your yard. They'll find their way into your house. People will freak out in the beginning, but then they become like, it's a bug. But
you can control them, no?
You can, yes. Everyone, you know, basically does, or either they have a pest control company where they do it themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So they're really not that bad. And sure, certain times of the year, if you get down by the marsh, the no-see-ums, they're going to chew you alive.
Yeah.
But there's no mosquitoes the size of B-52s flying around as everyone has in their mind. They're like, oh, it's got to be terrible all the time.
Yeah,
all the swamp water and everything else.
Sure.
No, that's not really the case.
Okay.
You talked about Florida having hurricanes. Doesn't South Carolina, isn't that in the hurricane district as well?
Well, I don't know if we're in the district. We might be kind of in the area code, but the reality is we haven't been hit since 1989, and that was Hugo. That was a direct hit, and that was not good. We've been fortunate since then. We've had a few close calls, a few brushes. Even last year, a couple came across Florida, came across Georgia, hit the ocean again, and we picked up some of the wind and the rain, which wasn't too bad, but there's... Some people say it's mythical. Some people say it's actual. I really don't know. I'm still kind of on the fence about it. Because of the geography of South Carolina, they call it the Golden Cusp. And the Golden Cusp basically is because South Carolina is somewhat concave from Florida and North Carolina, when the hurricanes are coming up the coastline, they don't veer into South Carolina. They'll bypass it. There's no, unless there's a really, really strong wind, and it has to be extremely strong to push a hurricane, it's not coming inland. And that's why they call it the Golden Cusp. Again, some say it's theory, some say it's actual, but we have been fortunate not to get a lot of big hurricanes here. Again, one of the reasons why our homeowners insurance here is relatively inexpensive as well. We don't have that same in Florida, if I remember correctly, the average homeowners insurance there without lanai coverage and other things is about $6,000. Here, for a house that's 3,000 square feet, which is a really big house,
mm-hmm.
on a big piece of property, it's under
$3,000. Wow. What a difference.
Can you talk a little about, I know there are some sea islands around Charleston. Are those prices really high for real estate?
It's a mix. So I'll kind of give you a quick rundown of the islands and what their vibe is and then what the cost related to that is. You have the Isle of Palms, affectionately known as IOP, just because we're all too lazy to keep saying Isle of Palms. So IOP, that's more of a family-friendly type of island, although part of it, about 1,800 acres, is a resort area, a couple of hotels and golf courses and a harbor and that kind of stuff. The pricing there is on the upper end. Okay, you're going into the 700,000 and up market right there. But there are public beaches and there's a small downtown and lots of things to do there. It is a huge rental community. I talked about that 1,800 acres. That's actually called Wild Dunes. And Wild Dunes, I think out of 3,000 homes that are there, 2,500 of them are rental properties. So there's a lot of rentals there. The rest of the island is more the second homeowners or even people that live there. I think there's a total population of about 4,000 people that live on that island. So okay. It's a really nice family-friendly kind of a place. Going down the coast to the next island, that would be Sullivan's Island. Sullivan's Island has a lot of people that are still working. They're C-level folks, you know, they're CEOs, COOs, et cetera, et cetera. And a lot of artists live there as well, especially actors and musicians. Those prices are much higher. I'm working with some folks right now looking to purchase in there, and their price points are about 1.5, starting at 1.5.
Sure.
It's not as family friendly, more older generation type of folks, but it does have a lot of visitors. People love the beach there. It's fantastic. It's home to an old fort called Fort Moultrie. You may or may not have heard about it, but it was a huge turning point against the British back in the day when they thought they were going to invade Charleston. Okay, they got repelled from Sullivan's Island. As you move down the coast a little bit further, you've got Kiowa. And Kiowa, that's even more expensive than Sullivan's Island.
Wow.
that's where they have a lot of the big golf tournaments that wow. come through the south are there. Beautiful homes. There, you're talking, if you can find a condo for $2 million, you're doing pretty good. they go up from there.
Okay.
So those kind of contrast. The closer you are to the water, the more expensive property
sure.
is.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's natural. Yeah.
Places you can go that are close to the water that aren't islands, though, is up the coast. Okay. We've talked about from Isle of Palms down. Mm-hmm. But if you go up the coast to places up there like Murrells Inlet, actually just the other day, I was speaking with another client who found a great condo for $289,000 on the water.
Wow. One bedroom?
It's a two bedroom, one and a half bath. You know, not huge, but
yeah,
you could see the beach from your balcony. That's not so bad.
And how far is Murrells Inlet from Charleston?
It's about an hour away.
Okay. Let's move on to healthcare. Obviously, that's important to a lot of retirees.
Especially those mm-hmm. coming from Florida.
Yeah. So how's the healthcare around Charleston and the area?
You know, the healthcare is kind of mid-tier. It's not terrible. It's not fantastic. Okay. It's kind of in the middle. But depending on where you are, you can have upper tier healthcare. Okay. So the big metropolitan areas, Greenville, Columbia, Charleston, Myrtle Beach, Hilton Head Island, you're going to have good healthcare or access to good healthcare and services. You have places like MUSC, the Medical University of South Carolina, which is a teaching college. They're based in Charleston, but they have hospitals and branches all over. You have Roper St. Francis. That's another big hospital operation. They're in all these metropolitan areas I just mentioned as well. The healthcare, depending on where you are, if you're in a rural area, it may take you a while to get to where you need to go to get the service you're looking for. And that service may not be top tier. But if you're closer to one of these cities I just mentioned, a more metropolitan area, it's really not very bad at all.
Okay. So in Charleston, let's take you for example. When you moved there and you wanted a primary care physician, was that search difficult?
It really wasn't. There's a lot of really good physicians here that were open to new patients. And, you know, I had a scare about 4 years ago, just over 4 years ago. And since this is actually the Colon Cancer Awareness Month, it's very appropriate to talk about it because that's what I was diagnosed with just over 4 years ago. And they went in, they did surgery, and I'm now about 18 inches short of my original colon. But the care was fantastic. State of the art. They did the laparoscopic surgery thing.
Yep.
You know, so they don't have to gut you and all that kind of stuff.
Right.
The follow-up was great. The oncologist, the surgeon, the gastroenterologist, all of them. I mean, it's a super, super team. They all knew each other. There was no push me, pull me kind of a thing. Do this, don't do that. If she said this or he said that, do it, follow it, and you'll get the care. luckily, they caught mine at a very, very early stage. And my physician just last week said, you're good. Your surveillance is basically over. You come back in 1 year and we'll just tie the ribbon on this and you'll be done.
Congratulations.
Yeah, thanks. So, you know, I have to say that I was very fortunate they were able to find it. They were able to treat it. And I am here right now speaking with you all.
Okay. All right.
Or y'all.
Yeah. No, because we know that in various parts of the country, this is it's a big issue. And some of the folks that we've interviewed say, well, I'm in fairly good health and I won't really have that problem. But, you know, you just never
know. You never know, yeah.
When something just hits you or you just didn't have the right physician or looked in the right place. So you have to prepare for that. I mean, you know, Gene underwent a serious situation last year. Well, not even, I wouldn't say last year, it's kind of over.
Yeah, I also had cancer, yeah. And
yeah.
You know, you think you're healthy, but you never know, yeah.
Hey, one day, you know, this lump just showed up. And, but, so we've been hyper-conscious since then. And so that's something that even when we go try an area, right, if we live there for a while, that's the first thing we're going to check because we just want that security blanket.
And a lot of people do say in some areas of the country and some parts of the world that it's hard to find the primary care physician.
Right. A woman we interviewed, 2 weeks ago said, well, you know, I mostly see the physician's assistant. And now they're highly trained, but if you joined that practice group for a particular physician, you would expect to see that person just a little more, right? To continue the conversation of your healthcare. So we want to point that out.
All right.
Yeah, that's, totally agree with you.
And let's move on to, say you live in Charleston, you love it, but you want to get away for a while. How far is the airport?
Well, from where I am, I could be there in about 20, 25 minutes, depending on the day and the traffic.
Oh,
not very far. They are expanding the Charleston airport yet again. Mm-hmm. They just had a record-breaking year last year as in regard to the amount of passengers going through the airport. We've just added two more airlines to the airport. They're not flying every single day, but you may be familiar with Breeze Airways. They just announced that they're going to start, they already go to Westchester County Airport, which is kind of nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I was looking at flights with a client who's coming down in a month or so, and it's like $45 each way. You really can't beat that from Westchester.
Wow.
And then they started another one, which I'm still kind of scratching my head about. They go to Charleston, West Virginia. So I just didn't get why they would go there, but they do.
That's a good one.
I don't know. I haven't met too many people from Charleston, West Virginia.
Yeah.
But
now you can fly internationally out of the...
I mean, the reality is... If you're going overseas, if you're going to a big metropolitan area, you're either going to go to Charlotte from Charleston or you're going to Atlanta.
Okay. Okay.
That's kind of the reality.
Mm-hmm.
From there, you're going to get, you know, the bigger planes and everything else. But there are direct flights to a lot of different cities, including international from here.
Okay.
Okay. Great. I wanted to ask you, can you describe what the downtown of Charleston is like?
Sure, I can. Yeah. It's one of my favorite places in the whole entire world.
Wow.
You've got so much culture, so much history. So the architecture is beautiful. The people are so nice and friendly. Even the tourists, the folks that are coming in from out of town, they've heard about it. I have people wanting to come to South Carolina who have never stepped foot in the state of South Carolina, let alone Charleston. They just have heard about it. They've read about it.
Wow.
And it's all very true. You have fantastic restaurants. The entertainment is top notch. The museums, the theaters. We're home to the oldest museum in the country. We're home to the first theater in the country. We're home to the first golf course in the country.
Is that right? The first golf course?
The first golf course, yes.
Huh.
So, you know, you've got these beautiful cobblestone roads. Now, a lot of them have been paved over, but I always tell people about the cobblestone roads because they have a story behind them. These rocks didn't just show up one day. Gene, in the beginning, you talked about Charleston being a port city. So there was a lot of commerce way back in the day, back with the old wooden sailing ships. And they would use these rocks, these cobblestones, as ballast for those ships. So when they got to Charleston and they didn't need that ballast anymore, they dumped the rocks out, and the you know, engineering kind of people there in Charleston said, well, they just can't sit here. Let's build a road out of them. And they did. So that's where the cobblestone roads came from in Charleston. There's so many other fascinating historical sites, things to see. You have forts, like I said, the museums, even the aquarium, which is not historical, but it's one of the best in the country. It's fantastic. Charleston had a mayor until, I want to say about 6 years ago now. He was the mayor for 40 years. 40 years. His main objective, and there's a lot of places around here that are named after him now, but his main objective was the preservation of the history of the city of Charleston.
Oh, that's nice.
And they have this board, ARB board, the Architectural Review Board, that if you're going to purchase a historical house, and sometimes we call them historical houses, but a historical house, if you're going to buy one, you have to go, if you're going to make any kind of changes, including the inside, you need to get it approved. And that's how stringent it was, but it worked out fantastically. You may be familiar with places like Rainbow Road. You may have heard about Rainbow Row. It's all the pastel color homes that are along East Bay Street, you know, overlooking the harbor. Right. They're fantastic. The churches, even the graveyards. I mean, they're all historical. They're fantastic. The parks. Mm-hmm. You have, you know, the white sand gardens at the end of the peninsula. It's amazing. You've got all of that. Mm-hmm. Then add in top-notch entertainment, fantastic food, first-class hotels, first-class shopping, and it's easy to walk around the town. You can walk around downtown Charleston very easily. I wouldn't suggest you do it in the middle of August, but you know, you can definitely tell tourists when they come to the Charleston area, because they're either out playing tennis at 3 o'clock in the afternoon in August, or they're driving around with their convertible top down at 3 o'clock in the afternoon and they look like a lobster. I get they're trying to get, you know, squeeze every dime out of their vacation, and I appreciate that, but
right.
You could always tell the tourists. So getting around downtown is fantastic. There, you mentioned Marion Square. It's a miniature Central Park. It's flanked by world-class hotels and restaurants. The horse-drawn carriage experience here is second to none. It's one of the most sought-after things that people do. And then when you get done walking around, taking a carriage ride, head on over to the harbor. You can jump on one of the old schooners that go out and do tours of the harbor, or you can go out to Fort Sumter. You go to all these different places, relax, get a nice cool breeze on the harbor, mm-hmm. and then end your day at one of the rooftop bars. There's a bunch of them now. And you go up there, have a nice cool drink overlooking the sparkling lights of the city and the harbor. It's a perfect way to end your day.
Yeah,
that sounds great. You talked about Florida, and a lot of Floridians these days are complaining about the traffic. I hear it all the time. How's the traffic around Charleston?
It's not the LIE. It's not the BQE.
The BQE, yo.
My favorite, the BQE.
Yeah. It's not like that. Mm-hmm. Now, after you live here for a while, and depending on where you live as well, but after you live here for a while, people will start complaining that traffic was terrible on the way home from work today, or terrible on the way to the beach, because it took them an extra 20 minutes. 20 minutes, as we know, is nothing.
Right.
But we get so used to being able to move around freely and without traffic jams that when traffic does get backed up, we get a little bit irritated. It's like, wow, we have to sit in traffic. Usually when traffic happens, it's because there was an accident. You know, something happened and things get backed up. Yes, there are always bottleneck spots around the different cities and towns. You know them and you avoid them, especially if you're retired and you don't have to go during rush hour. You just don't go. Mm-hmm. But it's not nearly as bad as where a lot of people come from.
Yeah, I'm just thinking, if all the snowbirds just add to that, are they in more of the quote-unquote touristy areas like the downtown? So I guess, you know, city folks or people who live there, residents, probably know that. And maybe you're right. They just take different routes to get to where they need to.
Yeah. And are there a lot of snowbirds?
I wouldn't say there's a lot of snowbirds. I meet more Canadian snowbirds than I do from here in the States. Okay. They want to come down. They want to, you know, if they're in 50, 60 degree weather, they think they've died and gone to heaven, you know.
Yeah. Are there many Canadians moving in?
Yeah, there's a good amount. I've got a few that I've heard from that watch my channel that want to come down. You know, cost of living here is a lot less expensive for them. The taxes are way less expensive for
them. Yeah, we've heard the taxes are high.
They come down. They'll spend months here at a time during the winter.
Okay.
All right. Before we end the show, you're an expert in real estate in all parts of South Carolina. I'd be remiss if I didn't ask about some other areas. And so I picked two: Clemson, which is a college town, obviously, and Spartanburg. Can you tell us a little about the real estate there and the communities?
Sure, absolutely. I'd love to do that. I love both of those places. Clemson, as you mentioned, home of the Clemson Tigers, the football team. Of course, let's not leave out basketball or, you know, all the rest of the sports, soccer and baseball there. They have fantastic teams. And it's also situated right next to Lake Hartwell. So that gives you plenty of recreational opportunities there. If you're a fisherman and you know what striped bass are all about, they're fantastic game fish. And a lot of people go there. They boat on the lake. They camp on the lake. They go fish there. It's a great place. It's got a really, really college town vibe when you're downtown. Everything is very university oriented, okay? A lot of the students will stay there throughout the entire year. They won't go back to wherever they called home. But the real estate there, that's kind of fluctuating a little bit. It's somewhat competitive right now. The median price in Clemson was about $310,000 last month, okay? And that's down about 2.5% year over year. Mm-hmm. So it's down a little bit. The median sale price per square foot is about $176. Again, if you want to do that math to figure out kind of that's what your budget is. Mm-hmm. And that's actually up a little bit. That's up about 10%. So even though the overall price is just slightly down, it's still somewhat competitive.
The real question is, what? It's a college town. Can you get good pizza there?
This is the South.
Good answer. Not Connecticut.
All You're right, not finding good pizza or bagels south of Jersey. So.
No, the real question is, Gina and I want to, it's on our criteria, is we want to be near as close as possible to a college town because we intend to take courses. I am taking courses now. In fact, I've taken 3 semesters of courses and there is nothing like just constant learning and learning things that you wanted to learn maybe for a long time that you didn't get a chance to early on, and just hanging out in coffee shops and bookstores and that kind of vibe. So Clemson sounds like a place that we would check out.
Let me ask you this.
Certainly call you, Keith.
Yeah. Well, you see, you're almost there. You're almost there. You're almost there.
We don't have the millions, so we can't go to those little islands, but, you know.
Yeah, well, island living is not, you know, all what it's cracked up to be. I've lived on them, and I can tell you firsthand.
Yeah.
But let me ask you this. The courses you're taking now, are you paying for those courses?
No, because it's state. It's city and state. Yeah. I mean, we pay like a mere registration fee, but that's why I'm going. You know, it's amazing.
Yeah, same thing here. You get to go for free, provided there's room in the class.
Right. Same thing here, yeah.
Right. You pay the registration fee, and off you go. So
yeah,
it's wonderful.
Yeah. And you're there for the whole semester with the young'uns and, you know, you learn from them and they learn from you and it's all good. The only great thing, the best thing is you don't have to take the final exam.
Yeah. And Clemson's a great school. Yeah.
Yeah. No. Clemson has quite a reputation. So, okay. Yeah.
And what about Spartanburg?
Spartanburg. Yeah. Okay. So Spartanburg, that's a bit north of Greenville. And a lot of people get kind of confused when I say north and west and things like that. Basically, our state runs from east to west. Yes, there's a north and south, but they're not quite as large as the east and west. Mm-hmm. So if you go more north, you will come into Spartanburg. And Spartanburg is about the halfway point between Greenville and Charlotte. So a lot of people like to have that ability to go to either one of those two places. That has really caught the eye of a lot of retirees. It's very family friendly. It's quiet. Not a lot of hustle and bustle going on there. The housing market right now is somewhat competitive. The median house price is $234,000 as of last month.
Oh, low.
Now, here's the big kicker. It's up 35% year over year. So people are finding Spartanburg. Price per square foot's $147 a square foot now.
Nice. So nice.
It's still, compared to a lot of places, very inexpensive. Where's it going to stop? I don't know. No one seems to know. I don't have a crystal ball. And if I did, I'd be in Vegas making all kinds of money and not on this podcast right now.
But yeah.
In any case, the proximity to the two big cities, the quiet lifestyle, the recreation there, the parks, all of that lend itself to a great retirement community because you're really never too far away from anything.
Yeah. No, that's great. All right, Keith. So you've given us a ton to think about.
And I really appreciate your honesty, which is great. Yeah.
No, we love hearing that and how you mentioned different little items that we wouldn't know unless we follow you regularly. So tell us, what are your, we're going to ask, like we do all of our guests, some words of wisdom you would like to part before we sign off.
Well, I think you have the right idea when it comes to exploring before taking that leap. I have people do that all the time. There are a few places where you could do quote-unquote short-term rentals that are not the Airbnbs and the VRBOs, but you can do a three-month lease or a six-month lease, something like that. Or if you need to move out, it's not a big deal. They'll let you move out. Some people that are building homes you know, their home gets finished and they need to move, they'll stay in these type of places. But to come and explore for yourself, you can listen to me, you can watch me all day long. It's still not going to give you the same flavor as stepping off the airplane or getting out of your car and experiencing it firsthand, meeting the people, meeting the locals, meeting other tourists. And I tell people this all the time. That's a big area that people just kind of ignore. Talk to other people that are visiting, get their impressions. Sure. They'll share with you other places that they've been in the area that you may want to know, or
that's a good point,
maybe not know. It just kind of depends.
Right.
So I would say that's the first best step. Come, enjoy it. If you can come and stay for months, that's great. But if you can come down a couple of times a year, go to different places, kind of get things figured out a little bit, I think you'll find the place that you will gravitate to, the one that speaks to you, the one that has the right vibe, the one where you'll find your tribe.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we want to find our tribe.
So did he convince you?
I'm thinking about it. You know, I hadn't really thought about South Carolina. I mean, you know, I certainly read a ton, and we're always going through all these different lists, and we want people to know about different areas. And myself, I've never quite put myself there. But the sunshine is what I really need these days. And having that almost year-round is something that I think is a big sell point. And obviously, the cost of living would be much more comfortable. Our dollar would go further. I don't want to touch my IRA. And by the way, I just got my first direct deposit of Social Security this month.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, I opted. I know people say, oh, you should wait. But I opted for the early end. And I didn't tell you this, Gene, but I bought myself a little gift.
Just to celebrate
that. So it's been really, really nice talking with you. We learned a lot, and we thank you for your time.
Yeah, you're great. Thank you so much.
Yeah. We will list everything in the show notes. Yep.
Thank you so much for having me here today. It was a lot of fun to meet you both. Talk to some old New Yorkers. I don't mean that you're old, but you know,
we're
from the same area a long time ago.
Yeah.
No, it was my pleasure. Thank you for having me and for allowing me to talk about the great state of South Carolina and how wonderful it is for people that are thinking about retiring here. If they have any questions, feel free to reach out to me. I'm here to answer your questions and to help you in any way that I can.
Okay. Watch out what you wish for, Keith.
Yeah. All right. Wonderful. All right. Take care. Have a good weekend.
Thanks very much. You too.
Okay.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode. If you know someone who's relocated for retirement and wishes to share their story with us, please reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you. Our email address is gg@retirethere.com. Our website is retirethere.com, and you may follow us on Twitter at retirethere_. Now, if you've liked our show, please subscribe and rate it in Apple Podcasts. In the meantime, be well.